Welcome to the ColbyCast, episode 206. Thank you for joining us. Today, Bonnie and I are joined by Colby homeschooling mom and online instructor, Margaret Malik. Starting with the busyness of homeschooling, add on multiple moves with horses, and teaching online, and you might end up with chaos. Margaret, however, shares her wonderful principle of the loaves and fishes. Bring what you have to the Lord and let Him take care of it. We hope that you'll enjoy the show.
Hi there, I'm Bonnie, Colby homeschooling mom of four lads and lasses, liturgical musician, popcorn, and podcast fanatic.
And this is Stephen, homeschooling father of five and chief homeschooling officer for Colby Academy.
Hi, Stephen. Happy Easter. How are you?
Happy Easter. Doing well. We, in our family, this is a nice, during Easter week, it's a break for my kids. And so they're reading and doing all sorts of just fun things that I wish I could join them. But one of these years, maybe I'll take all of that off. But wonderful time for homeschooling.
Yes, it's here too. We're having a bit of our Easter slash spring break. It's same for us. We're doing a little bit of school here, trying to prep for a trip that's coming up soon, another robotics trip. You all have heard me talk about robotics a fair amount around here, and we've got another one coming up soon. So we're trying to do a little bit of work ahead to lessen the impact of that absence. So for the most part, though, it's been a nice week, and just good to kind of catch our breaths a little bit. And we're really close to the end of the school year. It's hard to believe. So yeah. We get to visit today with longtime Colby mom and now Colby online instructor, Mrs. Margaret Malik. Welcome to the ColbyCast, Margaret. Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I've been really excited to meet you and visit with you a bit. I became aware of you when you stepped up at last minute to serve a class that needed a substitute teacher right away. And I was like, oh, let me find out more about her. And I got to reading about you and I was like, yeah, we need to talk to her. So,
thank you. Yeah.
So, would you
that
tell
was
us
an adventure?
I bet. And the more we learn about you and understand all the things that you have going on, and on top of that, that was even more impressive. Like, you don't just okay. So, I don't want to give it away. So, why don't you tell us about yourself and your background and your Colby connection, so forth.
Yeah. So I've actually been watching Colby for a really long time since I went to college with Everett. And so probably when my oldest, who's now an eighth grader, was in kindergarten, I was looking at Colby, and we tried the homeschool package for, and I don't know, maybe I was a kindergarten dropout. It was too much for me at the time, but we've been homeschooling since kindergarten. And then when Colby launched their the full-time online around COVID, we jumped on board. So this is our fourth year of being full-time online. I have an eighth grader, a sixth grader, a third grader, and a kindergartner. And then we have a two-year-old and a baby due any day now. So we are busy, but it is a good kind of busy. And those are all boys, but then we have a baby girl on the way. And so then it was last year that I decided to apply to teach for Colby. And so now I teach Algebra 2 at the high school level for the online classes. And I really enjoy that. It has been a wonderful community and a total game changer for our homeschool life. Like, you know, it went from making me wonder if I was failing to being confident that we are excelling, even if we can't do all the pieces. Like, it is a wonderful education, so well-rounded and faith-based, faith-rooted, you know, that it brings a lot of peace to my my homeschool journey. So okay. It's been a real blessing that way.
Good. Wonderful. Yeah. It sounds like you have a lively household. And that's what I was referring to I don't know that I could turn on a dime. It sounds like you did to step up and help out in a class. So I was very impressed with that. And I thought that was really neat.
I told Mr. Gazaldo, I was like, yeah, I mean, God's been preparing me to handle chaos like a lot lately, right? So let's just winging it in to teach him some, you know, completing the squared algebra one. Sure, no problem. We'll figure it out.
That's the spirit, right?
That's right.
So everybody is online in the online program, right? Okay.
Everyone does full-time online, which has been the best fit for us. Honestly, the deadlines and accountability are really good for our life chaos, right? Then we don't do it perfectly. We don't do all of it. That's why sometimes during the summer we're like, oh, we got to do a little bit of typing and handwriting and the pieces we've set down during the school year, you know. But the formula of it, the structure of it helps us make it a priority amidst the chaos, right? It's a busy week with lots of appointments or sports or whatever. We still get the important school pieces done. And that's really beneficial to keep us on track.
Yeah, there's definitely something to the outside, like someone else is holding us accountable for getting this done. Yeah.
Right.
So what does a typical school day look like at your house?
There just is chaos. I mean, you can even see what my life is like here some, but, so the big boys are very self-sufficient now at logging into their classes and then they help like log the kindergartner in and the third grader when they have to, you know,
yeah.
So they help me. And then, I've just worked with the Colby staff to have my classes run kind of when I know I can have some of the big boys' help with the little kids, or I have a mother's helper come in. And so a lot of our normal day just starts kind of surviving the live classes, you know, making those happen around, you know, first breakfast, second breakfast and such.
Nice.
And,
yes.
And then the big boys kind of do their homework around their classroom breaks and stuff. And I actually really love the way that the grade school has their homework set up, that everything just kind of needs submitted by the end of the week. So honestly, theirs kind of gets done sometimes later in the week or in the evenings, because I'm doing my classes and the big boys' classes during the day. So it's busy, but we make it work. I don't know. It doesn't sound super structured because I just have to be flexible, right? Whether the baby needs held or what needs done that day, right? So you look at the day and the priorities and you hit the big things from the beginning. So that's just kind of the way. I mean, I'm a very type A personality, but I've had to become less type A with the more kids and the more chaos. And so I just have to let go of some of the expectations of like, oh, at this time we do this and at that time we do that. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. For me, that helped bring a lot of things into very sharp relief. Like, these are the priorities. Everything else will keep. And if it doesn't, then, you know, and yeah, very true.
And one of my favorite prayers is I call it the loaves and fishes prayer of, I bring all that I have to, you know, my five loaves and two fishes or whatever that I have for energy and time and focus, and trust that God will multiply it to get done what his priorities are for my day. Right.
Pretty.
Yeah. Yep. So in addition to school, what else do y'all have going on with, like, you mentioned sports and you're running every which way?
Yeah. I think my husband started a business this year that's been keeping us very busy. My me thing that I do outside of kids and teaching is horses. I have two horses. They're older, but they're still they keep me sane, right? And then baseball season is starting and the big boys love to play baseball. So that will be kind of a busy spring on top of adding a baby to the mix. So
yeah. So then so far in your homeschooling years, do you have any standout memories, like happy or cautionary, that you would want to share with us?
I think the big the big perspective or the thing I keep try to keep reminding myself on is that with homeschooling, my big goals are to teach them to love God, love each other, and love learning, right? And so if I can keep that in mind through the different methods we try or the different seasons of chaos, then I'm doing all right, right? So I think that having some sort of personal mission statement like that is helpful and important and brings back perspective. And I try also to really use even the homework times and the meltdown times, like there are a fair share of meltdowns still around homework for my kids, that it is so much more than just pulling teeth to get an assignment done, right? Like I'm forming them through to teach them life skills to handle stressful situations or just to know that I'm there through the meltdown, right? And that they can count on me through their challenges. And so I'm, you know, that I'm forming them as whole human beings through the experiences of homeschooling and that it is very lifelike, right? It's like the same challenges I have as an adult in mini form, right? With smaller consequences. So I hope that I do that well, right? There are definitely times where I'm like, can you just get it done, right?
Sure.
But I try to keep that perspective, the big perspective, right? That we're relationship forming more than anything, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
What was it that made you originally want to start homeschooling? Have you always thought I'm going to homeschool? Is that?
It's kind of a funny story. So, my husband and I met at Gonzaga Prep. We went to the same Catholic high school in Spokane, and he was homeschooled some during grade school, and I went to a Catholic grade school. And so I teased that I was like, well, I don't want to ever homeschool my kids because you're kind of socially awkward. Like, I don't want our kids to be like that, right? And then, so now he never lets me live it down that I love homeschooling our kids. And then I don't think they're socially awkward. Really, he was exactly what I see as an adult now in homeschool kids. He was so articulate and knowledgeable and could interact with the adults so well that, yeah, maybe he was socially awkward with the popular kids, right? But that's not the value, that's not the priority. But as a high schooler, right, I didn't see the whole picture.
Sure.
So I really love spending time with my children. I wasn't really ready to like just send them off to school. There weren't a lot of great school options where we were. My husband was active duty military for 14 years, just up until the last 2 years. So we were moving every 18 months to 2 years. And my children did so well with the upheaval and the change. And I thought, you know, I can give them educational consistency with homeschooling and have one less thing. They don't have to get used to a new teacher in the middle of the year and new classmates and new and or risk, like, I think that's where some of the gaps in education come in too. You left this school, they hadn't covered fractions yet. You go to that school, they just did fractions. Now you didn't learn fractions, right? So I didn't wanted to just really reduce the stress on my kids as much as possible and have that education consistency for them. So I there were lots of draws, and then it just really was our values, right? To give our kids that education and more as I saw the relationships, I was like, I only get 18 short years with these kids. Like, I don't want them to go sit in a classroom for 8 hours a day and miss out on the time with them. And then because they're all little boys, more and more I saw how unreasonable it was to go ask a little boy to sit in a classroom for 8 hours, right? Like, this is, it was not their best life. So those are all, I guess, reasons that drew me to homeschool and have kept me here. I think the biggest thing that might have scared me away and might scare other people away is that failure feeling. Like, there were years where I felt like I was failing. And it really, Colby was the game changer for that, to feel like I was actually being successful at it. Because it's hard to know. There's no, you know, you don't get a report card on your parenting or your homeschooling, you know, like, you're doing a great job, here's your gold star, right? Yeah,
right.
And so, like, am I teaching them the right things? Are we behind? Are we, what, you know, are we being accountable enough? All those questions, like, it's easy to feel like a failure as a homeschool mom, you know? And so, but I persevered in trying different things, and really what had my sights set on, I was like, Colby has the online classes when we hit sixth grade. So if I can, like, prepare them for that and get them ready for that, right? And then when the online grade school opened, I was like, oh, perfect, let's do it. And it was a hard transition. Like, I hear that from parents and from even my students, like, oh, they came from some school and transitioned to Colby, and it was a hard transition because the expectations are high, right? But that's where the parent partnership comes in. Like, it has been a lot of work for me to help my kids be successful at Colby. It, you know, it takes a lot from me, but it's living our values, right?
Yeah, I love that kind of your mission statement there, and I was thinking, especially as you're talking about, like, what are you successful or are you doing where you need to? And I remember, I mean, I brought this up, I think, in our podcast before, but, like, my kids struggle with reading. I mean, early on, and with our first one, we just fought. You know, it was like, we're gonna get this, and tears, and, you know, the struggle of doing that, and, you know, by my later children, my wife just recognized, yeah, they're going to get it. They're going to be fine. It's just slower than everything else. But I think about, you know, going back to, like, a brick and mortar sort of school where everybody has to, the same age has to be at the same process, and how that just crushes, it has to just crush the wonder of those kids who they'd be fine if you just let them be for a little bit and let them grow into where they're supposed to be. And you can really do that at home. And so they don't lose that love because you can just be patient and wait for them if that's happening. So I just love that. I love that.
Yeah, I really agree. Right. It is. And that's why the Colby is kind of that perfect blend between the structure of a school, but the flexibility of a homeschool. And I had a parent reach out to me one time of another third grade kid, like, saying, how do you my kid gets so stressed out about tests or so stressed out. And I was like, I don't think you realize how flexible even the online program can be if you need it to be. Like, if your kid needs more time or a second attempt on a test, like, just ask the teacher, right? Like, these are moms and parents with great ideas, and can, even the online school is not rigid. It still has all those homeschool roots of wanting the kids to love their learning experience, you know? And I just have been around enough to see that, to be able to tell the other mom, like, just ask for what your kid needs. Sure. It's okay. You don't have to run away because you can't hit all the whatever expectations that you have, right?
Yeah. Have you found that with their online schedule, there is still room for them to get up and move around, take breaks from their schoolwork, do something else for a while, where it's not just head down working, sit in this chair the whole day, or, you know, that kind of thing? It sounds like it's working out sort of that way.
Yeah, definitely. It has been very good. Like my oldest, he likes to use his breaks for naps, but he's also gotten very good at using his breaks to do his homework so that then he can have more freedom in the afternoon and evenings.
Okay.
And so I love to see his growth that way. And then it just kind of works different with their different personalities. My second son, he uses his breaks in class much for like a mental disengagement, like he needs to go do something else for a little bit and then re-engage. And I do try to, when I pick their classes, to give them breaks with like not like one day that's super heavy that seems to work well, but for my kids. Whereas other kids, like if you wanted to like load up one particular day and then have some really light days, you could do that, right, too, for those older kids, the sixth and up. The younger kids, they do really, I mean, they kind of have a two to three hour kind of chunk of school time, and then they have lots of freedom before and after it. So I love that they go play together. Honestly, my boys think they drive each other crazy, but I'm like, we spend all day every day together. You really don't drive each other that crazy. Like you guys are each other's best friends, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's beautiful, and it happens in those cracks between the classes, right? So yeah, it's been a wonderful balance. And not it's like I said, it's rigorous, it's a lot of work, but there is that flexibility in there.
Yeah, I was wondering about that with the scheduling. I know with the elementary school, there aren't as many. The schedule is a different thing, but the sixth grade and up, you have options for when you're taking classes. So I was wondering if that kind of went into that, if you factor that in. That's something I think about there have been years and children for whom I have packed their schedule a bit much. And I'm like, oh, what? Sorry about that. That's that was a lot, but it's also
yeah.
good. And I want you to have all this, but it's also a lot. So yeah. I've learned as I've gone along. Anyhow, okay.
Right. Sometimes it's hard to not go too much. We haven't added in the languages yet, and it's something I want to add in for my oldest. But then I always get to the end of the schedule, you know, and you're like, do we push for one more class, or
yeah.
do I like try to not? Or you know, so he's kind of getting to that point. He'll add it in here pretty soon, but. They also build up their stamina, right? If you can do it, build slowly. They get stronger at their focus and their ability to take it on.
Yep, definitely do that. So I bet we have some listeners wondering how it works when you have kids doing school and then you have littles in the mix, youngers. What do you want to say about that?
So, sometimes I tease that the office is the war room, right? There's like... magnetiles and markers and just everything all over the floor. Don't keep your eyes up. but honestly, because my older kids, like this is their life, right? They're having a little kid in the mix is just normal to them. So they can focus and study through it, right? There was my oldest was doing a virtual piano recital. And some people in the audience of the virtual in the Zoom didn't have their mics muted, and it did not faze him one bit. He just played it. It was like no big deal to him that people were talking in the background. And I thought, yep, that's the oldest of a big family right there, right? Like he's like, whatever is
yeah.
going on in the background, it's just in the background, right?
So
So I think they just get used to that, right? It doesn't mean that there aren't like, oh, I got to go take a break to change a diaper or get a snack for a kid. But those breaks are healthy too. Hey, can you study this independently and I'll come back and quiz you on it? Or, hey, maybe you need a 5-minute break while I go do this and then we'll pick it back up in a second, right? So just kind of let God work his blessings over it. And try to not micromanage it because I can't.
Sure. I think that's part of the process for the mom too. It's like we come in thinking, all right, here's how it's going to go. And then we're like, yeah, no, it's not going that way.
Did not go that way. That's right.
Yep. It's a, it, It's for all of us. The formation is for all of us, right? We think
That's right.
We're thinking like they're going to be homeschooled. It's all of us. Yeah.
We're going to get us all to heaven one way or another.
Yeah, right. Yes. Well, you have mentioned that you have a sweet baby girl due any time now. And I was not aware of your military family, that part of your family life. So I would love to just hear your thoughts on, as you have put it, riding the wave of chaos and survival, seasons of change, new babies, moving for whatever reason, anything like that. What, just talk to me about that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it just, life does feel like that, survival and chaos and what's the most important things I have to get done today? Can I do them? Maybe by the grace of God and asking for help from other people, I can manage the most important things. Right. And, yeah, this is our 11th house and sixth baby in 16 years. So 2 years ago, my husband left active duty and we moved to Idaho. And I was 8 months pregnant then with our 2-year-old. So we moved. It was, and the boys were doing Colby. I think we moved during the week of the vocations retreat. So we had a couple light days of classes. They didn't get to listen to as much of the retreat as I wanted them to, but God called us to be moving. So that's what we were doing. And I remember, we move with my 2 horses, right? So it is, so we have these stops along the way. We move from Louisiana to Idaho and we, find these stops where we can overnight the horses. And so there was one day of our driving that they had live classes. And so we just kind of stayed late at the spot for them to do their live classes and their homework and stuff. Then we picked up and went to the next stop. And then that April, our baby boy was born, right? So then we have a newborn. Thankfully, he was born during the Easter break. That's why I'm like, come on, baby girl, come during Easter break. But yeah, I mean, it really is. That's just, it is life and it is chaos and it's not easy. But, you know, God has never let me down, right? He's always there. And that doesn't mean that everything gets done or gets done perfectly. That there aren't, you know, like I said, tears or meltdowns along the way, but we're in it together, and I've gotten good at asking for help, but it takes a constant surrendering, right? Like, okay, that's not going to get done the way I thought it was, or this is where I'm called to be. This is my vocation. The rest of it, I just have to let go of, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it all. So I got to surrender it. But that's a lesson, you know, God teaches me over and over and over again. Don't try to depend on yourself, like depend on him, ask and accept help and try to just be as present to my vocations of motherhood and being a wife and teaching as I can be. And, you know, it's good, but obviously a lesson that I have to keep learning, right? It's not, especially as we're getting ready for another baby, right? And I can't control the timing and I can't control so much, right? So I just surrender it again.
I keep thinking hearing your story, it's making me think again about how different our world is today. You know, 100 years ago, people were all like families generally just stayed together. There was all this support and all of these relations. And today it's even just for everybody. I mean, you have an exceptional case of moving and moving about, but I think it's like pioneers would have been the most, it's like we're all pioneering families, you know, so much that you have to do yourself. That seems to me that you've also discovered that important thing of when you using the community around you or the people you can find to help you along that journey, because I don't think we're meant to be such pioneers all the time. So we have to do our best, I guess.
I totally agree. And the military is wonderful that way, in that especially the places where we could live on base, the other military families are in the same boat. And so you just create community and you create it fast because you have to. And I'm super grateful that my mom has always come to help around the baby births and around the moving and stuff. So we do have great familial support still. And now at least we're drivable to home, right? Where
yeah.
in Louisiana and Texas, it was like hard to get home. So, but I think that people ask me, well, what was one of your favorite places to live? Or what was one of your least favorite places to live? And really my answer is the first year in any of them was very hard. And the second year was really great because I started to have that community in place. And then we had to move, right? So my oldest is like, hey mom, can you believe we've been here 2 years and we don't have to leave our friends and we don't have to move? And I was like, I know.
Oh yeah.
It makes me think of, we had Chris Bates, what our Colby's own Chris Bates on when they were talking about that. And she was, I think her husband was deployed or whatever at the time. And she was like, I'm going to the gym to make a friend because I need somebody to watch my children when the next one is born here. And it's like, oh, I can't even imagine.
I hear you. Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's like, so that's the kind of mental, I don't know, the work that you have to do to kind of get yourself into the frame of mind to be like, okay, I'm going to approach someone about that. Like, I think that's along the same lines as the sort of transformation we go through when we at first think, well, this is how this is going to go. And then I can control all the things, or everything's going to go to plan. And then being okay with it, not however imperfectly, and then doing with that what we need to do. It's, yeah, a faith thing and a decision, like a, I don't know, the growth mindset is necessarily the right term for it, but sort of that openness toward like, okay, this is, instead of staying just very fixed and here's how it has to be, like, well, it can't be. So what are you going to do about that? Right. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Control. What can you control? And then, the serenity prayer, right?
Yes.
Grant me the strength, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, right? But what can I change? And can I have the courage to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you come to the end of a school year and kind of look at summer, what are you looking forward to over the summer? Does baseball go for quite a while into the summer? And what other sorts of things do you like to do during the summer or look forward to?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always think that the chaos is going to be less, but it really just shifts.
Yeah.
Right. We live in a beautiful area, not too far from the Tetons and Yellowstone, and about 8 hours from our family. So we try to make some trips to spend time with family and do some outdoor adventures during the summer. And baseball does go for a while. I think I usually goes sometimes even into the beginning of July. So it keeps us busy. And just soaking up the sun as much as we can, right? We got kind of long, hard winters here. So I love just getting to play with the boys outside or play with my horses in those cracks of time that we are home. And I always have high hopes of like, oh, we're going to pick up the pieces of school. And we work in little bits, but it feels like every summer I adjust my expectations to again focus back on the relationships, the memories, the time together, right? And that if we didn't get as much, they do lots of reading. My boys love their audiobooks and so there's reading in there. But I think the typing, the handwriting, those are the things that sometimes fall through the cracks for us. But, it's okay. Again, just realize that I have some sort of expectation. And if I can be flexible in my expectations and adjust them, that everyone's happier, right? I can set the tone for our whole family. So trying to do that as best as I can, right? Be that linchpin in a good way.
Sure. That's a lot. And it's probably difficult to think of at this point in the school year as we're still very much in it. But Are there things that you do over a summer to kind of prep for the next one? As you're kind of closing down.
I wish, but okay. I feel like not really. I feel like it's like a week or two before school starts that I'm like, I better get all the stuff together. I mean, besides the ordering books, the bookstore makes it so easy. They just like email you, these are the books you're going to need. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, right. Nice, yes.
But yeah, after that, I feel like it, sometimes it just ends up waiting till the end, but with enough time that it gets done, so it's okay. Again, like, let go of that expectation of so like that I'm gonna have all my ducks in a row like I wish I did.
Yeah with you there. I have high hopes at the beginning of summer, like, okay, I'm gonna have all this done by then, and then the days go by and like usually not really. I'm pretty hit or miss with
a little bit. Yeah.
Some things,
although
yes.
I find a lot of peace in like having a notebook where I like brain dump everything that's like on my wish list to do, and then even sometimes I follow it and use it, but other times I like lose it, and then I come back and find it and you're like, wow, I actually did most of those things. I did all the important things on it and actually most of them got done. So I don't know if the act of writing it helps me like remember and hold it and get it done, or but it, I don't know. I've, and then it's happened to me repeatedly where I find an old big brain dump list and I was like, wow, look at you. They didn't all get done fast, but the important things got done.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, then you don't have to carry it all. You could even, you know, you can go reference it or whatever. Except for now with teaching and the homeschooling, I find that I almost need to have different spots for my different types of brain dumps. Like, this is what the boys need to do. This is my teaching stuff. This is my, like, home stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of have different categories of those lists now, but it still helps me be lighter. I'm not trying to hold it all in my head, right? I have a spot I can go look at and say, oh, these actually are the important things, and those other things, they can wait.
There's a lot of value in writing it down too.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any advice for families just starting out homeschooling or considering it, either from your mom experience or as a teacher, anything you would say to folks who are like thinking about it or just getting started?
Yeah, I think I would just kind of maybe circle around to some of those things that I already said, that I think worrying that you're failing at it is normal, and it means you take it seriously, that you take the responsibility seriously. It doesn't mean you are failing at it, right?
Yeah.
And that, that if you can keep your biggest priorities of life and forming your children to get to heaven, to be, you know, functional, healthy, happy human beings, like I said, through creation of your own mission statement or one like mine, like love God, love each other, love learning. And that doesn't mean that they always love the learning process, but, you know, then they can go out and do and accomplish anything. So there's no one right way, and that you also have to be willing to kind of adjust and change until you find what works well for your family, right? Like I said, I tried the homeschool of kindergarten Colby, and it wasn't a good fit at that time, but then the online is a wonderful fit for our family. And I did many things in between with co-ops and kind of my own pieces and other programs, and all of it was a learning experience for me until we kind of landed on what has worked best for us. And so the process might be the same, and sometimes I feel badly that my oldest had to be the guinea pig for it all, but who knows how that serves, how God uses that in his life, right?
Yeah.
God has our children in the order and the way that he wants them. So
so true.
It's that wonderful blessing of being Catholic with the sacrament of marriage, and knowing that this is the primary end of marriage, is being these children and their growth and their education as a parent, and that you're, as a homeschooling parent, when you're choosing to participate so fully in that, And like you said, just giving it, you know, giving it your all, you know, giving everything that you have for that. And it just was such beautiful fruit comes out of it. And you don't have to worry then, you know, you know, God's going to have to fill in the gaps that we have, because we can't see everything. We're not going to be perfect, but we can have that confidence going forward that God's going to make the best thing out of it that we can, as long as we're trying to participate, right?
Right, right. Yep, exactly. Bring your bread and fish and trust that God will multiply it, right?
Yeah, right. That's
make
so
good
wonderful.
Of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is, I, you know, and I definitely need my own support community too. My mom is wonderful in that way of coaching me, like, because I'm, you know, so at the end of the day, you're still like, did I do enough? Did I do it well enough, right? And sometimes I just need that emotional coaching along the way of, yes, you know, you did your best. I know you did your best. And that is good enough. And hey, remember to lean on God. Hey, remember to surrender that to prayer. And so, you know, you need that community, that faith community, and those people that kind of have your back along the way. If you can, trust God to help you find them, you know, and then be willing to lean on them emotionally. I think that really makes a big difference too. And honestly, with the adding the teaching at Colby this year, I've leaned on my mom more for help, even with the homeschooling of the big boys. You know, technology lets them email her their essay to edit and to get help on. And hey, and she can log in and see their study materials and quizzes them over the phone or helps them with grammar. My oldest is funny. He says, you know, I think grandma, she's better at grammar than you are, mom. Like, I really trust her with grammar, but you're the one I go to for math help. You're, you know, and dad's good at history, but he's not very good at explaining it. I was like, that is so accurate.
That's a neat though.
So yeah. So he has his different people to help with his different things too, right? It takes a village, right?
I think that's great. It sets him up well for life as an adult. Like, you're not an island, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Try to model that, and I'm definitely like, I have, like I said, my kids have their own meltdowns, but there are times where I lose my patience as a parent or make mistakes, and I just say, okay, this is my opportunity to model how to apologize, how to say, I can do that better. Could you give me another chance? So just remembering that we don't have to be perfect to still form them, right? And give them the example of how to have our own growth mindset and our own ability to forgive ourselves and start again, you know?
Yeah. So important.
Again, another great fruit of homeschooling is just that family being together. You really go through that opportunity to make mistakes and ask for forgiveness and be forgiven and really see that love as it should be. You know, we're, otherwise when you have conflict with people, you just tend to ignore them, you know, but you can't do that in homeschooling.
Right.
That is a family. You've got to work through them, and you've got to really forgive, and it happens. It's just so lovely to see.
All of that goes all together with what you're saying earlier about it. This is life. This is part of life. It's not all kind of segmented or compartmentalized into, well, school's right over here and work's over here, or whatever, you know, like it's all together. And I think that serves them well and us as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that some of my friends that do traditional school, then somehow they have to fit homework in and sports in. And do they ever get family dinners together or time to just like play, like have their kids play Legos together and stuff like that, as far as you were talking about the flexibility? And I think that flexibility is just, right, they can do their homework in the middle of the day, or they can play in the middle of the day and do their homework later or whatever. It does give so much more time and flexibility to those family values, right, along the way, I think, too.
Yep. Gives us lots of practice at it. Yep.
Yeah. It also does leave for very never clean kitchens with the five boys eating, like I said, first breakfast, second breakfast, like lunch,
that
snack, dinner, 11s.
I love it. I love that. I caught that earlier. I thought that was great. Yep. It's a working, this is a working household. There's things,
that's,
you know, this is, we're living
right.
here. That's right.
That's right. Adjust your expectations again, right?
And you're making good use of it. Yep. That's what it's there for. That's what it's there for.
Feeding them and soul.
Exactly. Yes. Well, Margaret, this has been just delightful meeting you. I've really enjoyed it. And I'm in admiration of you, of your conscientiousness, your dedication, just the humility you bring to your daily doings.
This has been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Subscribe to the ColbyCast on your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss an episode. And let us know how we're doing by leaving a rating or a review. And as always, feel free to email us at podcast@colby.org.
Mary, our Mother, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Ignatius of Loyola, Holy Saints and Angels, pray for us. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam.